Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Saturday, noon, Ohio State, Michigan. Need I say more? No. But you know who does? Tim May, the legend, joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Tim.
How is the Tim May podcast doing with Clay Hall?
Doing really well, as far as I'm concerned, because we're having pretty good listenership, viewership, because you can also watch it on FanStreamSports.com and I think on YouTube and Spotify, and I could go on and on, but that's not why you called me.
No, well, I mean, you do have a huge fan club here.
Got to give you a good plug, though.
Everybody loves you in Cleveland. You know that, right?
Appreciate it, man. Hey, appreciate it.
That's what we're all about. So those early days at 10 TV in Columbus, and now look where you. I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud.
I know you are, Dad. I mean, brother. I mean, uncle. I mean, cousin. I mean, cousin third removed from my mother's side.
Tim, what are your thoughts on
what?
What?
From somewhere up in the lower Appalachians,
yes,
up in northeast Alabama. That's
it did sound that way. Yes,
I'm that's not your generation. That's where you came from.
Goodbye, Tim. We'll see you later. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, your thoughts on the game and the health status of two wide receivers for the Buckeyes.
My thoughts on the game. Well, they go hand in hand. I mean, if as I keep saying on every kind of show I do, including my podcast, that it would really help to have one of them. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily have to have both. But if you have one of them, I think this offense could go places against Michigan. I think this offense is still going to be able to move the ball. I mean, Max Clair, the tight end, the transfer from Purdue, you know, is filling exactly the void, for want of another term, they were looking for in the offense. So he's really stepped up in recent weeks. But it always helps to have a game breaker of some sort. The Brandon Ennis can be that guy, but the other two guys that have, well, there have been several people who have now played at wide receiver in place of Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. But Bryson Rogers has played fairly well off and on. Dave Adolph started the game, played up pretty much the whole game last week. I mean, a former walk-on. So this wide receiver core has been a little bit exposed of maybe not being quite as deep or not quite as deep in terms of having people ready for prime time as you might have thought. But yeah, anytime you have the guy that's probably going to win the Biletnikoff Award, we'll see how that goes with him having to miss last week. I'm talking about Jeremiah Smith. And, you know, you saw what he said on the Caleb Downs podcast or Downs to Business or wherever that podcast is called. I don't know if you heard me. I asked Ryan Day yesterday at the press conference, so should we get our – injury update information from the Caleb Downs podcast. He kind of laughed. I think it's the one time he laughed in the whole thing, you know, or smiled in the whole thing.
Did he say that's not funny, too? We have the soundbite
of
him saying that's not funny.
Something like, yeah, or something like that. It was pretty funny. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, they're so tight-lipped about all of this stuff right now. And talk about batting down the hatches. Boy, if the Edmund Fitzgerald had had them battening down the hatches, it'd still be floating today. But but the bottom line is, was that too early?
Yeah,
was that too soon?
Too soon.
Might be.
You know, my buddy John U. Bacon has written a book about the Edmund Fitzgerald's out right now called Gales of November. It's number 7 on the matter of fact, New York Times bestseller list right now. But he's on my podcast, my Wednesday edition of my podcast, which is going to be coming out later today.
Because it is Wednesday.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
But he's a big Michigan historian guy, too. I mean, you know, in terms of football and all the hijinks and everything else that have gone on at Michigan low these many years. But yeah, I mean, Jeremiah Smith, I guarantee you, it tore him apart not being able to play last week, because he's never been really hurt. And this, we understand this is probably, even though they haven't said it officially, probably a quad injury. Mm. I mean, you know, it's up the muscle, comes down to the top of your knee there from your thigh, and can be very painful, and also can put a hitch in your get along.
Or your giddy up.
So, but he's never really been hurt as a football player. So, you know, everybody goes through different challenges, but I know it tore him up not getting to play last week, for example. I mean, last game in the shoe for 2025, I mean, it was a big deal to him. So, how much he said it in the preseason, how much he was very much looking forward to playing this game this week, way back when he was talking about it because of the loss last year. That definitely matters in terms of just some lightning in this offense, because Ohio State scored 42 points, should have scored 49 against Rutgers last week without both of those guys. And it was Rutgers, so take that with a grain of salt. But they can perform without them, but it always helps to have one of the best players, maybe the best player in the country, out there running pass routes.
Tim, I want to ask you a big picture college football NIL thing that I have no idea about. You know, in the past, you'd get to bowl games and such, and sometimes players would sit out because they have big-time opportunities coming in the NFL. I would assume Ohio State is loaded with guys who might give that a thought or two. How does NIL factor into that? Do you have any idea? You know, I mean, if a guy's getting paid but sits out thinking big picture because I don't want to get hurt in the game to affect my draft status, which I would understand, but I wonder if NIL would negate some of that.
Yeah, it can. You know, that's actually been more of a recent phenomenon of that happening, because if you're not in the college football playoff, what are you really playing for? You know, we all remember Jake Butt, Michigan tight end, who was going to be a high, big-time draft choice, and suffered a major knee injury in the Orange Bowl way back when. You know, Jake's originally from Pickerington, Ohio, so he's a local guy, and he's doing very well in the Big Ten Network.
Yes, he is. We see him all the time.
Yeah, he's a good guy too, man. You ought to have him on sometime. You probably have had him on, and I'm just stating redundant stuff.
We have not had Jake Butt on, but I would love to have him on the show.
Okay.
He does a really good job calling the games. I think he's
absolutely does. You know? He does his homework. I mean, that,
yeah. Forget that he played for Michigan while he's calling games.
I mean, I don't forget. I'm not sure he ever beat Ohio State while he was at Michigan. That's
that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. I don't care, but I guarantee you he cares. So, but back to what we were talking about. Here's the thing. NIL is never going to supplant any kind of financial reward you could get from being a first-round draft pick, in my opinion. I mean, if we get to that point, then what are we talking about? But it does for, like, guys, you know, maybe down the line who might be fourth, fifth-round kind of picks. But, you know, who knows why guys sit out or what they do? There are so many people in these players' ears now, giving them the quote answer end quote based on probably more than anything else what good it'll do for them, not necessarily the player.
Yeah.
So I think anybody who can be involved in the Michigan game from the standpoint of having it on their resume wants to be involved, and anybody who can be involved in a national championship run wants to. But they have revenue sharing too now in college football, which just started this year in college sports for quite a few sports. And even that is, it leans heavily toward the stars on a team, meaning how much money they get. Everybody shares something on the football team. The guys who are on scholarship, gets some kind of revenue sharing, but the, but the greater players get a much larger chunk of it. What those numbers are at Ohio State, I'm not sure about, but I guarantee you, Jeremiah Smith is one of those at the top of the near the top of the list, if not the top of the list. So I didn't answer your question because
I think
really
you
no
did somewhere in there.
I'm
you
just
did.
Kind of wondering, you know, like if somebody has an NIL deal, does that deal get voided if he sits out a big game? You know?
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't either.
No, that hasn't come up yet.
No.
And that has. Wait a minute. For that to get voided, it would almost have to come up. I think in a legal, you know,
exactly.
Courtroom
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
Coming soon to a courtroom or an arbitrator near you. But no, I haven't heard of that. We've heard of some clawback attempts, you know, like when Maliava's brother left Arkansas, they were trying to claw back some of his NIL stuff, for example. You know, he got into the game against Ohio State a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's still a brave new world when it comes to that stuff.
Sure is.
All right. So you've got, you know, hopefully Michigan, and then you win, and then you go play Indiana, and then you got the tournament at the end. Ohio State's defense tournament. Does that sound good? Tournament.
It's like a quarter. It's like a quarter of a season, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. But
a season.
But
yeah.
You start this week, and this Ohio State defense, which has only allowed 6 touchdowns and 5 field goals, cements their place in Buckeye lore. You know, especially with great effort over the next couple of weeks. Just your thought on that, and how does this defense compare to past defenses? Because they have just been awesome to watch all season.
Yeah, they're different to a certain extent. They play, you know, obviously play a lot differently schematically in some respects than they did a year ago when they were also the number one defense in the country under Jim Knowles, his third year. But where they really match up is what you're alluding to. I mean, Caleb Downs is as smart a defensive football player I've ever run into. And the whole defense has an IQ level that's, I think, way above average. And they're able to not only mess with your mind as they line up, but they're able to make adjustments when some of their things need tightening, battening down, whatever the term is you want to use. That's what really sets this defense apart, along with it being quite physical. So when you match all of those things, as Ryan Day said a couple of weeks ago, great, when he's talking about they want to play physical, they want to be physical, you know, and you want to go out on the field, you want to hunt, you want to be hunting it up, meaning being physical, meaning getting after people, letting them feel you know you're there. And so it's not just a finesse defense by any stretch. I mean, Overall Reese should never be well, he probably could be a ballet dancer if he wanted to be, but the way he runs and hits is crazy. And this is what's funny is like last week, not ha-ha, but sort of ironic. Yeah, I mean, it could be funny, too, if you're a Rutgers person. I think he was in a one tackle all last week in that game because, you know, they didn't have that many defensive plays to begin with. And so this week I would think he's going to be very part and parcel to getting after Bryce Underwood, messing with his mind, freshman quarterback playing in his first the game. I mean, you know, we say Julian Sain's a freshman, but Julian Sain's a redshirt freshman. He's, you know, he's in his second year. But with Michigan having, three redshirt freshmen starting on their offensive line, and that offensive line's been kind of banged up through the year, I think this, you know, Matt Patricia's probably got a lot of things cooked up. Now they still have to execute them. But the confusion can be as much a part of what we see on Saturday as execution.
Hmm. No, hey, try not to be confused on it. Yes.
That was a pretty good saying.
Hey,
that was really
Confucius
good.
Confucius say, let Matt Patricia put his pencil to work.
That is true.
So I would expect that's his big – that's probably the primary matchup in terms of – I think Ohio State will score – because this is not the same Michigan defense as a year ago, but, you know, I thought Ohio State was going to win comfortably last year, too. But, like I said, the telling stat in last year's game was Mason Graham was in on 7 tackles. You know who Mason Graham is, obviously.
I think so. Is he still playing for the Broncos?
Heard of him. Yeah.
I think he was averaging like 2.5 or 3 per game. But Ohio State decided they were going to run right at the 2 best players on the whole team for Michigan, which were Mason Graham and that other defensive tackle. And, boy, did they lose that battle.
Hmm. When you look at this, when you look at this week in general, because it's a goofy week for Ohio State football. Like, coach, some coaches do the same thing. Some coaches change things up. We're doing senior tackle. You know, just I don't know why, but the minutia of going into the game always seems to have some sort of play walking into the game, and then people want to do the cause and effect on a win or a loss on that. What is the feeling, and just what's the feeling going into this week?
Well, feeling is, I mean, it's not the feeling. It's what, well, it's already been stated. Ryan Day has tried to keep things as normal as possible, as methodical as possible. Obviously, you got the Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow where, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the players will be going different places, not leaving town, but going different places for dinner, et cetera. But you know, for example, Ohio State's been busing back and forth to Michigan for quite a while now. They're going to fly both ways, which saves them an hour, maybe even more than that, in the final analysis.
It's like a 10-minute flight, 15-minute flight up there. It's not very – I mean, it's a pretty quick flight.
Yeah, but believe me, the buses went pretty quick, too, because they got a police escort, at least to the border, highway patrol. So it's like being on a bus going 75, 80 miles an hour. Not that I'm saying they were speeding.
Correct.
Now, a lot of the people who used to line up, like in – up around Bowling Green and places like that, you know, to wave at the buses as they went by, they'll be disappointed, you know.
They can wave up in the air at the plane.
Yeah,
if they can
wave
to.
In the air as the team. Because you remember when we had our own planes, remember at the dispatch. I mean, you'd go up in the air and then come back down and you're, boom, you're in Ann Arbor, you know, or Ypsilanti where the Willow Run Airport is. Of course, they'll be flying, I think they might fly into Ypsilanti, the Willow Run, but I would think they might be flying into Detroit Metro. It doesn't matter. 6.5 dozen, you know, there's only another 10 minutes up Good the point. Road. But there, Ryan Day has been emphatic on keeping things as regular as possible, including
do your job was what he was hammering the other day, right? Do your job. That's been the theme.
Well, yeah, but everybody says that since Bill Belichick said it.
Yeah, I know. He really hammered it down last week after the game.
But like, for example, I mean, you know, usually we'd get the coach and a couple of players, one on like a Monday.
Yeah.
Right? Before Michigan week. Well, now we got it's regular. We got Ryan Day yesterday, and we're getting Ryan for a little lightning round of questions after practice today. And then several players, and just like we did last week, just like we did Purdue week. So he's trying to keep that as regular as possible. Because here's the thing, fellas, you don't win the Michigan game, and I know you know this. You don't win the Michigan game by a speech, you know, 10 minutes before you take the field.
No, or Bruce coaches, during senior tackle, right?
Ugh. Yeah. Well, no, but that was.
I know.
That got out of hand. I mean that. That wasn't John Cooper's. I mean, that just got out of hand.
That did. That
when
was
when it turns into revving up the other team.
Yes,
that's strategy gone awry.
Especially in a game where they should have it.
But real quick, I mean, you know, they got into like you want to keep a routine, you want to make things as normal as possible, but knowing that all through the year you have built to this, you have crescendoed to this, like in an orchestra where they're you've got a.
Apex.
A big time piece of music.
Apex. Oh no, I was just saying. Yeah. I do it for a basketball.
But you're crescendoing. You know, Ryan Day has tried to direct this to a crescendo for this week, but also knowing they got next week if they win, and then they got three more games after that. So, it's not the end of the year like it was with Woody and Bo when the 100-yard war first started. The 10-year war first started. There's more after this for both teams.
Amen.
But mainly for Ohio State if it wins.
Tim, as always, thank you. We're looking forward to your coverage of the game coming up this weekend, and we'll make sure we catch the Tim May podcast with Clay Hall. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Happy Thanksgiving,
buddy. It's always a pleasure, and I've just got two words for you.
Yes.
Gobble, gobble.
Goodbye. Tim May drops the mic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Coming up in the next hour, Shedeur Sanders press conference. Stick around for that. Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Stick around for that.
You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube. That includes the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, 6 to 10 a.m. Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin, 2 to 7 p.m. Live each and every weekday on 92.3 The Fan on the YouTube channel. Subscribe to that channel right now for free. You can watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan, live and on demand right now.
So you got Ohio State, Michigan coming up on Saturday at noon. And Jeff, when I talk about, like, we spend so much time talking about Julian Sain, and, you know, or you'll talk about, for here, maybe we talk a little bit more about Bo Jackson than they do than around the rest of the state. But, you know, as Tim had said, Max Clair had a great weekend. Their tight ends have had a consistent season all year long. Even Will Kaczmarek and, you know, Christian Bennett even in there for a little bit. And, you know, and that's only three. They've got six really, really good tight ends. And, probably two of them are redshirting that we won't see until next year. But when you tend to talk about Ohio State, everyone wants to talk about Julian Sain, and they want to talk about, you know, Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, especially Tate and Smith, because there's question marks about whether they'll play. It's the defense that has just been, I mean, seriously, amazing. And I don't care who the competition is. They've only allowed six touchdowns in the entire season, five field goals. This defense is probably one of the best brick walls I've ever seen. Now, yeah, some of the opponents may be a little bit light, but when it came time to have big games, they've come through every time, and they're awesome to watch. That's why I'm interested in this game against Michigan, because somehow, some way, Michigan always seems to find a little bit of an edge or just some way to penetrate Ohio State's defense, especially when they come up with rushing yards. And I always find that, you know, when Michigan has great games against Ohio State or upsets Ohio State, they run the ball. But when I look at Ohio State's front four with Curry and McDonald and Malone and Jackson and Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs, I mean, they're just so good. They're so good. And I hope that this week doesn't have the flaws of the past that we mean for Ohio State's defense against Michigan's running game. Because I think that there are so many times that I've watched this game and I've been like, how did Michigan just run? Like, and I'm just throwing out old names. I'm just like, how did Tim Biakabatuka do that? You know, you start
Tim Biakabatuka.
You start asking yourself questions like that.
Because there's a name we didn't think would end up in the show today.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I start digging deep into my mind going, all these great rushing performances against Ohio State and how they've been able to. And then, like, I don't know how this is going to be a low-scoring game either. You look at all the points, but I do. If I look at Ohio State's defense, I look at all the games where Michigan has put mega points up throughout the season, and they've scored it, you know, with a very healthy balance. And to see what they're going to be able to do against Ohio State's defense, I think is going to be super interesting. This is a must-watch game. Must-watch. As if it wasn't already.
I think it's fascinating, Andy, with the different climate in college football now, and in different climate, I mean the playoffs mainly. What happens to games like this? There's still a big game. You know, like when the Browns play the Steelers, that's a big game.
But they do it twice a year. That's why
I know, but it's still a big game, you know, and you could lose both of them and win the Super Bowl. And I do think that's something that college football fans are going to have to think about. you know, like Texas, Texas A&M, like Texas, Oklahoma, you know, Georgia, Alabama, you know, big Alabama Auburn matchup. You know, it's not, those games are not the season anymore. And I think that's going to be tough for some football fans to digest. And I understand that. You know, it's, we've been trained to do that for so long.
It does change the dynamic, but it still doesn't take away from the thrill of the game and the way people are like, where was I yesterday? I walked into somewhere and they were playing Hail to the Victors. And I walked in, I was like, hey, is something wrong with your sound system? It sounds broken. Nice. And they were laughing because they had just played a bunch of Ohio State songs in this pool area where I was walking to. They're like, nah, I was just, this guy's kids go to Michigan. I was like, well, if his money goes to Michigan, then he can hear one song and then burn it. So it was just, it was one of those moments. And this is why we love college sports. I mean, it's just, this game has just so much meaning and carries out the history and tradition of the game that it makes you forget about maybe some of the weird things that are going on the outside. You know, NIL, portal, things that have changed the way we look at college football.
It, absolutely.
It's
who's going to win?
I'm going to say Ohio State wins. I think Ohio State can win by 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns in this game. I think they probably could win by more, but I also think it's Michigan, so I forget about all that stuff. Like, on paper, I think you could go back and look through the last couple of years and go, oh, Ohio State should win by 10. Ohio State should win by 15.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think that there's something different about this year's team than there was about last year's team. And, again, it does matter who plays wide receiver. Ohio State needs... They need Smith to be able to play. They need. I hope Tate plays. I really do, because I, you know, it doesn't feel good that Tate's going to play. And I think it would be. Look, as long as you have Smith, you're good. I'm really, really, really interested in watching Bo Jackson this week, especially last week, because he had a fumble last week. Was that last week? Yeah. That he fumbled, you know, and you were like, whoa. But then they went right back to him. I thought that was super important for this offense. To go right back to Bo Jackson, to give him the opportunity. And, you know, CJ had a nice game last week. CJ Donaldson, James Peoples has been playing really well over the last couple. Things that you were expecting out of the rushing game in the beginning of the season have now kind of percolated. And I don't know if this is by plan or design, whether they want to throw the ball or pass the ball or run the ball. But if they were trying to make Michigan have to spend time in practice to watch certain things, they've done a nice job. Even the play that they had last week where they tried to throw the half pass over to each other on the kickoff. I mean, that's something now Michigan has to keep their eye out for. So I'm going to come back. There's some other pro football stuff I want to talk about, especially Baker Mayfield. We'll get to that. Also coming up in the next hour, Shedeur Sanders, Kevin Stefanski. So hang tight. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin.
Hello.
We got some press conferences coming up here in the next hour. Shedeur Sanders, locking in for that. Kevin Stefanski as well. Daryl Ryder will join us a little bit after that, too. So we've got all that coming up. It's always a pleasure to be with you as we get ready for this holiday weekend. Again, we might be getting some snow over the next couple days, too, because I know Jeff loves when I talk about the weather. So I just want to make sure everyone's on board and they know that that is coming, my friends. And I'm just not a big fan, but it is Thanksgiving, so we should expect snow around this time of the year. Before we get back into football talk here for a second, we got to throw a gigantic shout out to Chef Will. He is amazing. It has become an annual tradition for him. He ends up dropping off.
Tradition for us.
To eat, yes. We want to thank him. He's got the best candied bacon I've ever tasted in my life. It is fantastic. The barbecue's off the hook.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you. And shout out to your family this holiday season. I know it's tough tough sometimes when you lose a loved one in your family. So we just want you to know I'm thinking about you over Thanksgiving as well, too. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Will.
All right. So, you know, we've been talking about, like, how to get to the future with the quarterback situation here in Cleveland. And it kind of brought up some memories of Baker Mayfield as we had talked. And then Baker's kind of back where he started with contracts and stuff like that.
I saw a story today and it made me think, wow, there's the dilemma again. And, you know, I don't feel bad for Baker. He's very highly compensated, makes a lot of money, but according to most of the rankings, you see, he's about the 19th highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which is, that's kind of stunning, isn't it, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys just make a lot of money. Not that Baker is the 19th highest paid, but he's making a lot of money. And the story was this, and he's done a real nice job in Tampa, no question. And Tampa's been, you know, they've been beat up a little bit, but they still have a lot of talent down there. And he's on a 3-year, $100 million contract that runs through this season and next. And the story
was... And that was an extension that he had signed.
Yeah, well, 24. He did sign an extension in Tampa, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that contract runs out after next year. And, you know, it's that merry-go-round with quarterbacks. It's like, oh, here it comes again. How much do you pay the guy? And I found it interesting because it said, the story that I read said, they have a big decision to make.
A big one.
And it basically called it a dilemma. Do you pay Baker Mayfield big time? And this isn't about Baker as much as it is, to me, the quarterback position. The headline actually said the Buccaneers have a huge Baker Mayfield decision to make this offseason. And it was, do you extend him? Because if you extend him, you're probably going to have to pay him, you know, $50, $60 million a year. Do you want to do that? And it brought up his age, and, you know, it's going to be his age 32 season. Which is a lot of money, it's getting up there a little bit, but quarterbacks are playing late. But it comes down to this, I think, Andy. Teams need to make the decision on quarterbacks. Is this the guy? Or do we not lock ourselves into that kind of money? Because that can be detrimental to the team because we don't think he's quite that kind of the guy yet or never will be. Now, that said, you know, Baker signed for $100 million. He's set for life if he pays attention.
Well, they're
going to
take, they're looking at a big cap hit in 2026. So it's almost like if you were Tampa, wouldn't you want to, like, go back in and renegotiate again to stretch it out?
Maybe. I can't imagine them walking away from him.
He's done a signing bonus or something.
Yeah, he's done a nice job there. But it's that for NFL teams. You know, the Browns made the decision. We don't want to invest that kind of big-time quarterback money in this guy. And maybe the folks in Tampa will wonder that. And you can be sure other teams will be thinking that about their quarterbacks. You know, and just look around the NFL, and it's a decision that hopefully the Browns have to make one day, or maybe don't have to make because their guy is such, whoever it's going to be, is such a terrific quarterback that you're just going to pay him top dollar.
It's weird because you go from MVP conversation to where are we going now because he's banged up again.
Well, and because of the price tag.
Yeah.
You know how much.
But if he, you know, if you think he's the MVP and you think your team has a shot at the Super Bowl, the price tag doesn't matter, does it?
Well, I would think not. But apparently, to at least some in Tampa, it does matter. And they might not think he's that guy. And again, this isn't about Baker as much in our thinking. My thinking on this is that's the question that teams face. Is this guy good enough to make that huge investment in? Because, Andy, look what's happened here with the Browns. Deshaun Watson hasn't been good enough. You gave up picks and your salary cap, you know, you can keep kicking it down the road by restructuring. But it's a big decision. And those guys make so much money now. The top guys make so much cash.
What do you think the Browns learned then by the Deshaun Watson decision? I don't think the Haslam group will never walk down this road again.
You know what I think is the best thing you can learn?
Hmm.
Get a quarterback on the cheap. And I say that, and on the cheap is still $100 million. I mean, Sam Darnold's playing well in Seattle. Look what's happened to Minnesota without him. You know, J.J. McCarthy, and I caution folks, don't bury him. He's only played in six games. It's the same type of deal with, you know, other quarterbacks who limited sample size and need time to come around. But teams so have to get that decision right, not just on the right guy, but then the right money, I think.
I'm trying to take this to the Browns perspective. There's just, I can't see the Browns or anyone else in the NFL doing a deal like that in the near future. You know, even if there was no...
You mean a Deshaun type deal?
A Deshaun type deal. Even if there was no sideshow going on with Deshaun, the fact that he got injured and you're sitting here going, oh, we gave up all these picks. Oh, look what we did to our cap. I got to believe that he is like someone who's studying law and they've got to go back and look up cases that have set precedent. And they'll, you know, cite, oh, Watson and the Browns. You know, it'd be for any GM that's going to sit back and try to weigh out the value of trying to make a trade. And then, you know, I also think that the decision was just hasty at the time because of what Baker had said, I'm not coming back, trade me. The decision became hasty, and I do think...
Well, it seemed like a knee-jerk reaction after Deshaun Watson said, you're out.
And that's why, because he said, you're out. Yep. But then the other part of it is, I actually think that the lesson learned gave them back Myles Garrett. Because this time, I think when Myles had said, hey, I want out of here, trade me, the Browns took a deep breath rather than saying, whoa, what are we going to get for him? How are we going to do this? No, they said, look, let's make this right. Let's try to make him a Brown for the rest of his career. Let's pay him what his net worth is. And who knows what it is now, right? I mean, imagine what is he worth more than his current contract?
That's hard to believe, but you never know.
You never know, right. And so I just hope there were a lot of things to be learned in this contract situation. So, and again, it always brings me back to what happened with Baker and how that was a franchise-changing couple weeks there between Baker and Deshaun.
I just think teams shouldn't rush into these huge contracts for guys. And, you know, because you don't have to pay them for a while, so you're going to push that down the road. I get it. I understand it. And I just, you know, you just look around and you think, okay, like, for instance, Green Bay signed Jordan Love to a big contract.
Right.
Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I don't know. I like him. I think he's a good quarterback.
No.
Yeah.
Did we ever get into the world where you're paying for the future rather than the current results?
Welcome to free agency and everything else.
Yeah. There was a topic that came up kind of around this on the morning show today, too, about, you know, when you are drafting a quarterback and that quarterback is already making million plus in college, how does that change the dynamic of the athlete when they get to the pros? They're not hungry saying, oh, you like, remember the first questions a lot of guys would get, hey, you're going to get your first paycheck, what are you going to do with it? And the standard answer was, I'm going to buy my mom a house.
Yeah.
Like, we would hear that all the time. Now, they've already done that in college. And so, you know, where does the incentive come from? Where is the intestinal fortitude of some of these college quarterbacks that have been paid very, very well in college, and sometimes they're taking a hit to come to the NFL, will take less money because they've made more money in college.
If they left their college early and didn't guarantee, you know, or making NIL money and weren't going to be a first round pick, that's a bad business decision.
Right.
You know, and now they have to think about those.
It is weird that college now becomes the business decision.
Well, you have to think about it. You know, I mean, if you're making $1 million in college and you end up being a fourth or fifth round pick, you're not going to make a million.
No, not at all. No, so you've got to
stay put.
Yeah, and maybe that's good for college because I thought that, is that what you were alluding to when you were talking to Tim May about some of these guys? Maybe they should stay in college because they have a chance to make more money.
No, I was wondering this. Hey, we signed you to an NIL deal. Get your butt out there and play. Don't protect yourself for the draft. You're already getting paid. You know?
Yeah, but
you can't sit out.
The NIL deal, though, can, I mean, if you think about it, can last longer. If you're with a good, like, let's say you're doing commercials for, say you're doing commercials as a college athlete for a big soda company, big pop company, right? Now all of a sudden you turn pro and you can still continue to do, you can stay on that.
Well, you could if they want you. There's another business deal.
Right. I don't know. If you're good at one point, you would think, especially if you get into the lifetime deal. I mean, that lifetime deal could start when you're in high school now, especially the state of Ohio. Like, say you sign up to do a card, a football card, and then all of a sudden now you're in high school and you've got this good deal. Now all of a sudden you're in college and you've got this good deal and you're doing autograph signings out of season or on the weekends after your game. And now all of a sudden you're doing that in the pros. So, I mean, you can have a lifelong NIL deal with another company. I just find it interesting how all this stuff just kind of plays out. Jeff Shador Sanders will step to the mic. I wonder, the first time we really heard
from him right around noon, little afternoon.
Yep. The first time we heard from him was after the Ravens game. And I felt like a part of him was just excited to be here and happy to be out on the field. And I appreciated that because I think it's something that, like, on the outside as a fan, you're looking at it going, I wonder what it's like to play in the NFL. Like, people always think that. Or what's it like to be in the NFL? They're always asking. And I think he really gave you a good interpretation of how he felt, his true emotions out on the field after the Ravens game. I also thought that once he was named starter, it settled in a little bit. And again, this is a really quick timeline. And I can appreciate the growth that we're seeing because now all of a sudden, those guys you're looking up to as a guy that's on the bench and watching practice from the outside, now they're your coworkers. Now you better be able to play with them because if you expect to have good results, the awe of being on the field with guys that, you know, you've watched, especially through college or just respected along the way, now they are your brothers, right? You're not the little brother anymore. You're equal, and you've got to be able to facilitate the offense and get better. And I think he's kind of talked the talk throughout that. So Shador Sanders, his press conference, Kevin Stefanski's press conference, and Daryl Ryder, all of these things straight ahead on Baskin and Phelps right here, 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.